Good morning, everyone. I'm Mark. I'm the family pastor here at Trinity Church. It's an honor and a joy that I have the opportunity to kick off our series, I Am, Jesus in His Own Words. And I've always enjoyed preaching to our Trinity family. Of course, I wish that you guys were here in person, and this will be my first time kind of doing a COVID-19 sermon, but I'm excited to be able to provide this sermon and then just kick off this series that we're going to be in. And we really need to, right now in this season, hold on to the words of Jesus that bring us life, eternal life. As we get going, let me pray. Father, thank you for your presence, your Holy Spirit isn't bound to a building, a church building, but that your Spirit is present in the living rooms or kitchens or wherever people are watching this morning. Thank you for that. Speak to us this morning. Use me to share your words this morning. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, yeah, as I was saying, I get the opportunity to kick off this series, I Am Jesus in His Own Words. And the first statement I'm going to look at is, I am the bread of life. Jesus says this in John chapter 6. I want to invite you to open up a Bible app or open up your Bible to John chapter 6 as we're going to be in this chapter. There's a lot to cover in this chapter. We're going to kind of cover a lot of ground, so I won't be able to cover all the details. So I want to encourage you to read that chapter maybe this week, maybe even read the Gospel of John, John's account of the life of Jesus, even during this series as we're going to be in the Gospel of John for the duration of this series and looking at the I am statements that Jesus says. But before I do that, I want to just start with this question. Do you have what you need? Do you have what you need? And if you would ask me this question, Mark, do you have what you need? Or even just in the beginning of March, I might have had a different answer. Or even if you think about kids, might have a different answer to that question. And throughout, as you grow up, you have a different answer to that question of what are your needs? What do you really need in life? And even in March, like I said, I would have had different answer to that question. Like, oh, I really need a bigger house, or I really need a raise, or I really need this, or I really need a new iPad. Or even in December, you'd ask me that question. I'd have been like, I want a new iPhone. It's been 3 years since I've had a new iPhone. That's the longest I've gone in my life. I really need that. And you know, I did get the iPhone 11, so it's interesting that the things that maybe we really think that we need in this season that we're in. And really, it's we are in a world of wants, a world of wants. When we think about these different things that we want, and I don't even want to necessarily just bash our culture and our world because, you know, I've grown up in this. I've been born into this world of wants, all these different things that we want. We can go anywhere and do anything. And if we can't go anywhere or do anything, we can think, well, I want to go and do that, or I want to go there. Just the other day, I believe it was last week, our daughter Joelle, she's fully potty trained, but she's 3 and a half, so she needs adult supervision in the bathroom just to make sure everything goes okay. But sometimes she kind of goes on her own in there. And my wife and I were like, okay, well, let's see how this goes. My wife, Andrea, she went to check on Joelle. And she goes in there and she sees that Joelle has wasted like half a roll of toilet paper. And she was like, oh my goodness. Kind of had a little bit of moment of panic. In the beginning of March, if this would have happened, it would have been a minor inconvenience to clean up. You know, people have wasted toilet paper over the years and TPing somebody's house. You wouldn't think twice about that to play a joke on someone. But now in this season that we're in, we're like, oh, you know, we got to save that. I remember when this whole thing started in the middle of March, I went to Costco and noticed that they were out of their brand of toilet paper. I thought that was kind of weird. They had another brand there, and we just grabbed that and find out the next day. Then now they're out of toilet paper. And I'm like, is it because of this pandemic? And then going to Target, they didn't have any either. And then going to Walmart and going, you know, checking in, you know, week to week and realizing they don't have any of that. This is crazy. This is, I can't, you know, grasp what is happening in this world that we're in. And I really believe something is happening. We're shifting from a world of wants to a world of needs. What do we really need right now? And I stumbled upon this picture a friend of mine posted. And I went to Target the other day. And I go there and pick up a few different things. And I know I was going to go and check, do they have toilet paper? And I was like, oh, do I really want to go check? They're not going to have any of that. But I'm like, well, since I'm here, I'm going to go check. And I wish I would have took a picture of it, but my friend, I saw he posted this, so I grabbed it, and he went to Walmart, and he saw this similar situation that I saw. I'm like, wow, there's a few packages of toilet paper here. This is awesome. I felt like it was Christmas morning, and I was running down, and the day before, there was like no presents, and now on Christmas morning, I'm going down and looking under the tree, and I see there's all these presents. This is awesome. And I really felt kind of funny, like this feels like Christmas morning to me. I get to grab only one, you know, one per person, one package of toilet paper, put it in my cart. And I kind of had that interesting kind of processing the emotions that I was feeling. You see, I was thought this was funny, but then I kind of felt a little emotional. I'm like, am I going to cry over finding a package of toilet paper? I find it interesting just how we are processing these things that we've never seen, at least in my lifetime, I've never seen empty shelves before. And now I see that. And maybe you've experienced that too. Or those of you who've lived longer than me, maybe you've seen times where things were lean and shelves were empty. But for me, this is the first time. And for many people, this is the first time where they've seen something like this, especially in America. But we've really shifted from this world of wants to a world of needs. What do we really need? Stripping everything down. We can't go anywhere or we can't do anything. We can't have some of these things that we've thought, well, we can just have them whenever we want. And when you think about this question, do you have what you need? Do you really have what you need? I really believe that this statement, I am the bread of life, that Jesus says of himself in his own words, really helps us to answer this question. Do you have what you need? So I want you to keep that question in your mind as we go through the rest of this message this morning. Now, Jesus says this in John chapter 6, verse 35. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. What a great statement. Jesus, the bread of life. If you come to him, you will never go hungry. If you believe in him, you will never thirst again. What does this statement have to do with what do we really need right now? And we're going to unpack this. As I said, we're going to walk through and summarize some things in John chapter 6. So I wanted to mention this. So at the beginning of John chapter 6, Jesus, he's on a mountain, and it's the feast of the Passover. It's at hand. It's coming. It's going to be really close. And this is in the minds of people. There's going to be a lot of references to the Exodus story in John chapter 6. Even when you think of I am the bread of life. I am. That statement, I am, is so key to what the Jewish people, the way that they identified who their God was. I am. And in Exodus chapter 3, the God appears to Moses in a burning bush and reveals his name to Moses. You see, the people were slaves in Egypt, and God has heard their cries, and he tells Moses, hey, I am going to use you to free my people. It's going to be me who does it, but I'm going to use you to bring about this amazing moment to free my people from slavery. And Moses says, hey, God, well, when I go to the people, who should I say is sending me? And he says, say, I am is sending you. Or I am who I am. I will be who I will be. I will be your rescuer. I will be your savior. I will be the one who will free you from Egypt. So Jesus making this I am statements that people would know and remember that God revealed his name, I am, in this Exodus story. So key, so crucial to the Israelites, to the Jewish people, and really to our faith as well, as Jesus identifies closely with this God. Now, with that in mind, the feast of the Passover was at hand, this story of God freeing his people. And in fact, with the Passover feast that they would celebrate, it would be a time to remember when God sent these plagues in Egypt to display his power and his might, that he was more powerful than Pharaoh, who claimed himself to be a god, and all the gods in Egypt. And in fact, God would, in one of the plagues, kill the firstborn. But God said, if you slaughter a lamb and you smear that blood of the lamb over the doorpost, then he would pass over those homes and would not kill the firstborns in those homes. So this is a remembrance of what God did to free his people in the Passover. Now, with this in mind, Jesus is on the mountain and he sees people coming. They've seen signs of Jesus healing people. And they come to they're coming to Jesus to see him. And Jesus, he knows what he's going to do, but he tests his disciples a little bit. And he tells one of them, Philip, and he says, hey, Philip, all these people are coming. We need to feed them. What are we going to do? And Philip's like, hey, well, you know how many months of salary it would take to feed all of these people? We can't do that. And Andrew's like, hey, there's this young boy who has five barley loaves and two fish, you know, but that's not enough to feed all these people. But Jesus, he takes those things, those elements, and blesses it. They distribute it, and it feeds everyone. It feeds everybody. It's not just like, here's a loaf, and let me give you a little bit and a little bit, you know, and just here's a crumb to feed all of those people. No, they all were satisfied. They all were full. And not only that, there were 12 baskets left over. What an amazing sign that Jesus showed of who he was and who he is. And the people caught this. They knew this, and they remembered even the Exodus story, and they remembered this, that what Moses said. And they said, when the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, this is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world, perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force. To make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. You see the people, again, making that connection of who they saw this sign, and they reference something that Moses says in Deuteronomy 18:15, that there was going to be a prophet to come into the world after him. Of course, right after Moses is Joshua, who is going to be this next leader in for the people. But then as the years go by, people believed, rightfully so, that there was going to be another prophet to come into the world. Somebody like Moses. And with the people, with the feast of the Passover in their mind, and Jesus just performing this miraculous sign, providing bread for the people. They thought of Moses. They thought, this could be the guy, and this could be somebody who, like Moses, Moses freed the people from Egypt. This Jesus could potentially free us from Roman oppression, so they want to make him king. Of course, they didn't grasp quite what Jesus came to do, and he's going to help unpack that for them in this John chapter 6, and I'll unpack that for us this morning as well. You see, one of the things that Jesus performs this miracle is that the people also remembered how God provided, or Moses provided in their minds, bread from heaven. You can read that too in Exodus 16, I believe, or 6. In Exodus 6, that where God provides manna from heaven, bread from heaven. Now the people, they needed another Moses. That's what they needed. If you think about, do you have what you need? Do you have what you need? They needed another Moses. They needed another king. But they didn't quite understand, well, what kind of kingdom and what kind of king would Jesus be? Or this next prophet, or this one that they were hoping for, what he would do. But this is what they needed. Now, this is what they needed. And as Jesus, he went back and withdrew to the mountain. Then afterwards, the disciples, they went across the sea, and Jesus, he walks on water and meets them in their boat. And John chapter 6 briefly kind of talks about this story. But again, with the Exodus story in mind and Jesus performing this miracle of providing bread for these 5,000 plus people, and then Jesus walking on water toward them, the disciples, that how could they not even at least think of Moses as he parts the Red Sea and the people walk through on dry ground in a miraculous way as God is leading his people and freeing them from Egyptian oppression. Now, the people are wondering where Jesus went, and the rest of the people, and they follow Jesus. They find out where he's at. And Jesus says this. Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Now, they saw this sign and they made that connection that he was this prophet to come into the world, but they didn't quite get that. And they really were thinking about getting their stomachs filled. And really, that's what they needed. They needed their stomachs filled. And I kind of can relate to that. You see, people back in the first century didn't do recreational activities where you might think, oh, we're going to go for a hike, or we're going to go for a walk, or we're going to go on a trail, and we better bring a picnic basket, or we better bring lunch or something. Like, you know, people didn't really do recreational activities back then. It was dangerous to travel. And they didn't have that. So I can relate. And even now, and you think in our world, I love to have my stomachs filled. I can't wait for Pizza Ranch to open up again, and I can just eat all I want. And you might be thinking, really, Pizza Ranch, that's what you're waiting to have open up? But their fried chicken is amazing. I'm just saying, it's really good. And anyway, I can relate to our stomachs just being filled, but these people were missing what Jesus was really talking about, and they weren't really understanding. Do they really know what they need and what Jesus can provide for them in their lives? Jesus goes on to say, do not work for food that perishes, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him, God the Father has set his seal. You see, Jesus is giving us a clue, actually more than a clue. He's helping us to understand, well, what is this bread of life? He says, I am the bread of life. And well, what is this? And he says that don't work for food that perishes, but for food that endures to eternal life. And he calls himself the Son of Man, another term that if we had a lot of time, we can unpack the difference between this prophet and the Son of Man and the king and all of that. But they are all similar terms referring to this king who is to come into the world and be the king for God's people. I'm getting used to this clicker. The bread of life is the food that brings eternal life. That is what the bread of life is. The bread of life is food that brings eternal life. We can see, as he's saying, that food that perishes doesn't do that, but this food that brings about eternal life. And Jesus is going to continue to unpack, well, what does that mean? Then they said to him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? And Jesus said to them, answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. That's the work of God. And what is so key and what's so essential to being a Christian or evangelical Christian who is a follower of Jesus is that we don't have to work for eternal life. It is a free gift by God's grace. It's undeserved, but God has given that to us. It's not something you have to earn or work toward. But he says the work of God is to believe in Jesus, to believe in him. And this believe, though, sometimes we can get this a little confused as well, as we might think, well, I can believe once, you know, or make this one decision, and then, you know, I don't even really have to believe again after that. And what I really believe is the work of God is to believe into Jesus. That's another way to translate in him, is into him, into a way of life, into Jesus, who he is. We belong to him now. We are in him. And we have this faith, this lifelong, everyday trusting in Jesus. Is what he's saying. The work of God is believing into Jesus and having that lifelong faith in him. So they said to him, then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? And I was thinking, like, hey, well, didn't he just do like a sign feeding the 5,000? But hey, you know, I guess, what have you done for me lately? What do you do? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Again, they were referencing that story, and perhaps they were thinking, well, Jesus provided us bread the other day with feeding the 5,000, but hey, it's a new day, and you know, God did that like for them in the wilderness, like every day. So come on, Jesus, we need another sign. We need our stomachs filled. Let's go. If you're going to be this prophet, if you're going to be this next Moses for us. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, sir, give us this bread always. And Jesus points out something that's really important, and it's a good reminder to us as we read his word and even reading the different stories in the Bible, but especially the Exodus story, which is so crucial to our faith and a crucial story in God's word, that we don't want to miss that who's the hero of the story. It's not Moses. Moses is important and God used him, and he's a hero in our faith in a lot of ways, but really the true hero is God. He was the one who was working. He was the one who freed the Israelites. He is the one that provided manna in the wilderness, bread from heaven. And it's important to remember God's the hero. God and Jesus is the hero of the biblical story. And they were missing that. But he goes on to say, for the bread of heaven is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. So they're kind of wondering, well, then who is this bread that comes from heaven? And here's our main verse is John 6:35. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Jesus is the bread of life. And they're really going to struggle with this. They're continuing to wrestle in their minds. They don't have a category for understanding that this prophet isn't going to be what they expected, or this king that Jesus is going to be, in this kingdom that he's bringing about and is at hand and is happening right in front of them, is going to do the things that he is going to do, and he's going to provide eternal life in a way that maybe they weren't expecting. In fact, they were not expecting that. That is not a maybe. But Jesus is the bread of life. And he goes on to say, and this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son of Man and believes in him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. Jesus, looking forward to the moment of raising us up, bodily resurrection. We'll have new bodies. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And God is going to right all the wrongs of this world. This is what we have to look forward to. And Jesus is saying that he will not lose none of these people or nobody. And I just really believe, I almost thought like maybe this should be my big idea if I could split this sermon up into two messages. But maybe I really believe somebody needs to hear this, is that Jesus will not lose any that his Father has given him. Jesus will not lose any that his Father has given him. And maybe in this season that we're in, you've felt like God embracing you, holding you, but maybe you felt like you're slipping through his hand, slipping through his grasp, and that he's lost you. I'm here to tell you that he has not, he will not lose you. Even if you feel alone, even if you feel like you have nobody, or you're isolated or stuck at home, that God has not lost you. Jesus has not and will not lose you. Jesus answered them, and he says that the people are starting to grumble amongst themselves, and which also refers back to the Exodus story. Jesus answered them, don't grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. And I love the point that Jesus is making here is that the Father draws people to the bread of life. The Father draws us to Jesus. And I was thinking that if we've been a follower of Jesus for any amount of time, that you know that you've been taught by the living God, that God has taught you. You didn't just learn that through just merely a human person, but that God was teaching you. I was thinking, whatever Trinity class God is teaching, sign me up for that class. That's amazing. But if you think, if you've been mentored by somebody, if you had a pastor or a friend or just somebody in the faith who has come alongside you to teach you the ways of Jesus, that you've been taught by the living God. That is amazing. And maybe you are watching this and you haven't placed your trust in Jesus, that the Father is drawing you to Jesus now. What will you do? Will you place your trust in him? God is wanting to draw people to Jesus because he sent his son into the world not to condemn the world, but to save the world. And unfortunately for these followers, these people that were following Jesus, they weren't getting it. They weren't listening to God. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." So again, Jesus is unpacking for them. Well, first he says that the bread of life is going to, whoever comes to the bread of life will never go hungry again. But then he explains that, well, he is the bread of life. And they struggle with that because they knew who Jesus was and came from Joseph. How could he come down from heaven? And then he takes it a step further, really challenging their category and their ways of thinking and their worldview by saying that they need to eat his flesh and drink his blood. Now, for a Jewish person back then, they wouldn't eat any meat that had blood in it. But then on top of that, even for us, it's like, well, that sounds a bit cannibalistic. But of course, he wasn't literally saying that. He's using a metaphor pointing to something. Pointing to the fact that this prophet who is to come into the world, this king, that they were hoping that Jesus would overthrow the Romans or whatever in their lifetime, that this king, this prophet, this bread of life would actually lay down his life, that his body would be broken, his blood would be shed on the cross for their sins. And that is how the bread of life brings eternal life, is through his body broken, through his blood shed, which also is a picture, as we on Good Friday just celebrated and remembered good communion and celebrating the Lord's Supper, remembering that his body was broken. And when we drink the juice, that represents his blood that was shed for us. This is how the bread of life will bring eternal life to us. When the disciples heard it, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? You know, Jesus, this is pretty difficult. Are you sure you want to preach this, buddy? You might lose some of us." And Jesus even says, "Hey, does this offend you?" He says, he's like, "People, I speak the spirit and the truth. This is what I'm saying is true, but I know many of you aren't going to believe this." And in fact, they didn't. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. You just think, Jesus having all this momentum, feeding the 5,000, and these people are trying to track him down. And even before the 5,000, seeing signs of healing people. And he's got this big following, like his Instagram is just blowing up. He has all these followers. But then one after another, he gets unfollowed. And now there's like barely anybody. And he asks this of his disciples, "Do you want to go as well?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? you have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. You see, when everything is stripped away, and we don't have all the people, or he didn't have all these followers, we don't have whatever we think that we need to show that we're succeeding. And when all that is stripped away and we just have Jesus, when we just have the bread of life, is that enough? Is that enough? Is Jesus enough? Is he what we really need right now? As we shift from a world of wants to a world of needs, what do we really need right now? And Peter is saying, well, to whom shall we go? Where shall we go, Jesus? You have the words of eternal life. Where shall we go? I couldn't help but think of this story, and I would many times go with my mom to this convenience store. It was a small little convenience store, and it was a few blocks away from our home, so we could walk there. Maybe took 10 or 15 minutes to walk there, but I just remember fondly of those times walking with her there. And we would grab something, a cheap meal. We didn't have a lot of money. We didn't have a lot. And we would get a corn dog there. And I even have a picture. Like, pretty much it was a liquor store, to be honest. You could see the signs there. And it looks the same. That's how it looked when I was a kid. It looks like that now. We would go there and have a below average corn dog. I'm not talking about like a corn dog from the state fair. Or I've been to the Iowa State Fair, and I've gotten like the shrimp corn dog. It's absolutely fantastic. I love it. This is like a below average corn dog, and that was it. And I would eat that with my mom and thinking, I just want to be with her. I just want to spend time with her. I just want to eat with her and be with her. And when you think about Jesus and being with Jesus, is he enough? He is. I will walk with the bread of life. I'll have a corn dog with Jesus. I just want and I need Jesus. My big idea for us this morning is if we have Jesus, we have everything. If we have Jesus, we have everything. Going back to that question, do you have what you need? When everything is stripped away, whether we have a lot or a little or nothing, if we have Jesus, we have everything we need. What would happen if we really grasp that truth? When everything is gone, if we have him, we have everything. And it could be hard, and I get like in the midst of it, and I felt like that at times in the last few weeks. You get overwhelmed with all these things, or even just being isolated in our homes isn't healthy. We're not meant to be isolated for days or weeks. And this can impact us emotionally, spiritually, mentally. So I get all of that, and it could be hard to remember this. But if we have Jesus, we have everything we need. And what does it really matter when we shift from a world of wants to all these extra things that we want and all these different places that we could go and do? And none of that is bad in and of themselves, but yet that has become an idol in some ways. And when all of that is stripped away and we really think, well, what do we really need? What do we really need right now? Going back to that story with my mom, and I use that as an illustration of just being with Jesus and him being enough. But I can't help but think of being a parent, and we want these different things for our kids, and you know, we want a nicer house, or we want them to have a better life than we had growing up. But what do they really want? I encourage you that if you're a parent and you're struggling, or your hours have been reduced, or you've been furloughed, or whatever's going on, or things are tight, your kids just want to be with you. They'll eat a corn dog with you. That's all that matters. What do we really need right now in our lives? We just need to be with those that we love, and we need Jesus. And if we can get that, Trinity family, if we can get that Jesus is the bread of life and point our kids and point our family, point our loved ones to the bread of life, that is what matters most. What do we really need? We need the bread of life who brings life. Not only the internal life, which is so important, right? I am looking forward to that day to be with Jesus and to have that eternal life. But eternal life starts now. Once we've placed our trust in Jesus, we can have that life now. He will meet us where we're at. If we're struggling, if we're anxious, if we're stressed, if we're in pain, or if we have conflict in our home, whatever's going on, he will meet us where we're at and bring us life now. That doesn't mean we will have everything that we want, but we will have what we need. Jesus, the bread of life, who brings life to us. So again, think about this question. Do you have what you need? Do you have Jesus, the bread of life? And if you haven't placed your trust in Jesus yet, the Father is drawing you to him. Would you do that? Would you do that this morning, or would you do that soon? Would you respond to the Father drawing you to his son, Jesus? Let me pray. Father, I am so thankful that in your word that you've revealed who Jesus is. He is, his very words are words of life, eternal life. Where could we go right now? We can't even go anywhere anyway. But where could we go except to Jesus, who has the words of life? He says, I am the bread of life, and we're thankful for that, that when we come to him, we can have life now and forever. Help those of us who are struggling to remember that, to pray with a family member, or to reach out to someone, to reach out to me, or to reach out to a staff member here, or to reach out to a friend, a neighbor, and to not do this alone. We are not meant to do this alone. Thank you for the bread of life that gives us what we need. Not everything that we want, but what we need. And what else could we want, really, but Jesus, who has the words of eternal life. Thank you for that. Pray for those who haven't placed their trust in you, that you continue to draw them to Jesus, and they would place their trust in him as he, by his body was broken, his blood was shed for their forgiveness of their sins, that they place their trust in him, they're going to have life now and forever. Thank you that Jesus is enough. He's all that we need. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.